Abraham. Abraham was known as the father of faith. Good for us to consider his life, to see the weaknesses in his life, the strong points in his life, and perhaps some of these weaknesses you can identify with. Some of his fight of faith, you can identify with. See, the Bible says that faith is a fight. When you read the Bible and hear about all those men of God, then we see the things that God has promised for them, not without a fight. They had to claim what God gave unto them. They had to claim what God spoke unto them. Noah had to hold on to what God says about the coming flood, even though at that time they had never seen rain before. He had to hold on to what God says. Joseph had to hold on to his dream. The devil many times had to steal the seed of the dream from his life. David was told by God, "You shall be king." But many times, when King Saul was pursuing him, he feared for his life. And it seemed that it's never going to happen, even though God said it. But he held on to it, he held on to it, and in the end he became king. You don't receive the kings of God without a fight or faith. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there's one key: faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that even the Old Testament folks have to live by faith. We in the New Testament have to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells everyone has to live by faith, because without faith it's not possible to please God. In fact, the Bible used impossible to please Him. Abraham had to fight the fight of faith in order to bring to pass what God said unto him. God has placed a vision in your life. God has spoken some prophecies into your life. God has spoken promises to some of your lives. Some of it came in dreams. Some of it came in visions. Some of it you read in the Bible and the word jumped up to you. That confirms in your spirit saying, "This is yours. This is yours." You have received and heard the voice of the living God. You're holding on in faith to what God says about it. And we need to consider how to hold on. How to hold fast to what God said about our life. If you will hold on long enough, every one of them will come to pass. Let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The life of Abraham. Too bad that time Abraham didn't have any video like our Abraham. Otherwise, we can also watch his life. Abraham in chapter 12. The first time you ever heard of him in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 12. Chapter 11, of course, we mentioned a little bit, but the first time you hear him obeying God to the fullest extent in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out.'" Sometimes God tells you to get out. God says, "Get out of your country." See, God not only tells you to come in, sometimes He tells you to get out. God doesn't just tell you to come, sometimes He tells you to go. God doesn't just tell you to stay, sometimes He tells you to move. Here God tells Abraham, "Get out of your country." And what was he getting out of? Not just to run away from that nation, not just to leave the country. God says, from your relatives. From your uncles and aunties and grand aunts and grand uncle, all of them that love you with a worldly love, all of them that have been close with you, all your relations and kinsfolk, all these people, get out from among them. That would be very sad for some of you, right? Say goodbye, dear aunt. Goodbye, godmother. Goodbye, godfather. And the God whatsoever.
relatives are to be born again and to be brought to Jesus Christ. Or sometimes, if they are not in the Spirit, they can be a hindrance. Born of tradition. Well, here is Abraham. Get out from your country, out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lord went with him. And Abraham was 75 years young. Are you hearing me? 75 years young. Anybody here above 75? Could I see your hand? Oh, we have some here. Praise God. 75. Praise the Lord. Anybody above 80? This is quite a young kid. Could you imagine God speaking to him at 75 years old and said, leave, go. And by Abraham's time, the years were about like our years already. They lived to the most about 120, 130, 175, right? So it was quite close to our years. Before the flood, there was a difference. After the flood, the people lived according to the lifespan that is quite normal for us today. It is not in our topic, but there are four things that happened after the flood. The atmosphere was changed. The diet was changed. They started eating meat from that time. And the earth was divided, which scientists discovered about two decades ago, that all the continents was once upon a time one piece of land. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. And the fourth thing that happened was that the years that used to rotate, the earth rotating around the sun, was about 365 days and a quarter a year now. And having winter, summer, spring and autumn, before the flood there was none. There was only one nice green kind of season, spring all over. But after the flood, God told Noah there will be winter, summer, heat and cold. Before that there was not. The earth was filtered also. All these things are just to read your appetite in God's word. There are a lot of things in God's word that are scientific that will explain a lot of the questions that you have about this earth. And if you would calculate, some of you look so curious that your mouths are watering. I better give you just one word, just to show you that before the flood, the earth was rotating around the sun. God made a perfect earth. God made a perfect rotation. The earth was rotating around the sun 360 days a year. And every month was exactly 30 days. Isn't it nice? Every month 30 days. Some of you won't believe it until you read it in your Bible. So let's look at the Bible. Genesis. Lord, how did I get into this? Anyway, let me finish that. Genesis chapter 7. All we need is two verses and you see the understanding. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken. Note the timing. 600 year in the second month, the 17th day of the month. The second month, the 17th day of the month. The second month, the 17th day of the month. The 17th day of the month of the second month. Now you look at Genesis here and chapter 8, Verse 4. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. The seventh month, the 17th day of the month. Do you see that? Now the first was the second month, the second month, the 17th of the month, the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. There was a period when the waters were upon the earth. So that is gives us a period of 5 months. Is that right? Is my math right? If my math is right, say amen. Right. 5 months. 5 months. 5 months was the time when the water was on the earth. Now you look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 7, verse 24. The waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And then you look at chapter 8, verse 3. The waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Now there were 150 days that passed by. Now how many days is 5 times 30? 100 and? Can I hear you? 50? You better start a math class too. 150 days. See, at that time, the calendar was very nice. January, February, March, April, all 30 days. Isn't that not nice? But after the flood, a lot of things happened. Four things that happened, remember? You want to read more about that? Please go and buy the tape on the book of Genesis. Have it on sale there. But I just said that to say that there are a lot of things in the Bible here that we can discover if you take the time. You read, pray, you discover. It answers everything on this life. Now back to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Abraham was told by God. God says, leave. And Abraham was 75 years old. That was quite elderly, considerably at that time. 75 years old. It's never too late. Say, it's never too late. It's never too late to obey God. Tell your neighbor, point at them. It's never too late. Never too late to obey God. I don't care how old you are, it's never too late. Never too late to obey God. You can start now. You can start now. After all, Moses started at 80. When you read this passage of the Bible, it gives us the impression that this was the first time that God speaks to Abraham. At that time, his name was Abraham. So we go by that name first. Abraham. It looks as if this was the first time God spoke to Abraham. He looks like an obedient child. Some of you read this passage and get the impression that God said Abraham was fellowshipping with God. And God said, go out! He said, yes, sir. I mean, he was obedient. Obedient unto God, and he just obeyed. But I want you to know he was not quite that obedient. He experienced the same thing you and I experienced when God spoke. Is it? Is that you, Lord? Please confirm and reconfirm and reconfirm. Even the airlines only allow you to reconfirm once. When God speaks, you have to reconfirm 10, 20 times. Abraham was the same way. Remember, he was in the flesh. Moreover, he was not born again. He doesn't have the weapons and the advantages that we have today. Abraham struggled with God even before this passage. Put it on your record. This is not the first time God spoke to Abraham. I'll show you from the Bible. Sometimes the New Testament reveals some things in the Old Testament. Just like in the epistle of Timothy, Paul told Timothy, and Paul named that the magicians who confronted Moses, he said their names were Jannes and Jambres. You don't find in the Old Testament. See, in the New Testament, they got some revelation. So in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, the book of Acts, keep one finger on the book of Genesis 12, because we'll be coming back to that. And with all your other fingers, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Stephen, in his preaching and his testimony towards the Pharisees and Sadducees, make mention of the Old Testament story of Abraham, and he gave us some insight that we were not told in the book of Genesis. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Acts 7, verse 2. And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran." Before he dwelt in Haran. Note the town, the town's name was Haran. "And say to him, get out of your country, from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you." Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. Now let's get our geography all sorted out. The Bible geography. Here in Acts chapter 7, it tells us that he was in the place called Mesopotamia, which is also the land of the Chaldeans. So let this section be the Mesopotamia, the land of the Chaldeans. Acts 7 verse 2 tells us that God spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, come out of the land of Chaldeans. Come out of that land. Go into the land of Canaan." Now hold this place. This is Mesopotamia and this is the land of the Chaldeans. Here is the land of Canaan on this side. This is the land of Canaan, right on this side, the land of Canaan. So this is a promised land that God has spoken to Abraham. God said, "This is the land that I'm giving to you. This is the land that you're supposed to be in. This is the place." So this is the land of Canaan. Right, let's get all our geography all sorted out together in the Bible. So this is called Mississippi. Excuse me, you're hearing a wrong sermon. Can I have it again? This place is called? That's right, Mesopotamia. What's that land there? Canaan. Hallelujah. Hi there, those in Canaan. Say hello. All right. Sorry, folks, here in Mesopotamia. You got to come out soon. So, we are heading towards the land of Canaan on that side. The book of Acts say that Abraham heard God's voice speaking to him and said, "Come out of this place." And as he was going towards there, the Bible tells us in Acts 7 verse 3, he landed in Haran. This place is called Haran. Can you all say Haran? Huh? Can that side say Canaan? And that side say Mesopotamia? They can't pronounce that. Let's have it again. What is your land called? That's right. This side is Haran. Alright. And there we have Canaan, my dear, happy to be in Canaan. I hope you're not the Canaanites. Anyway, so this is Haran. Now, Haran is a town that's in between the journey. So here we have all our geography sorted out. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 12 and you see the actual situation there. That when Genesis 12 verse 1 occur, Abraham was actually, or Abraham at that time his name, was actually in Haran. Chapter 11, look at that. Verse 29. Chapter 11, verse 29. "Then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Canaan and dwelt there. They came to Canaan, they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in, what's that place? Haran. Excuse me. Hebrew pronounce it Haran. So let's pronounce it Haran. Haran. No wonder they're laughing. Ha 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 Haran. Anyway, are we here? Haran. Oh, now I got mixed up. Haran, right. Haran, here we have Haran. So Terah died in Haran. And in Haran, after Terah died, the Lord said to Abraham, come out and go there to the land of Canaan. Now you see the whole picture that Acts chapter 7 also gives us. Chapter 11, verse 31 gives you a clue. Gives you the clue. That here they were in chapter 11, verse 31. Chapter 11, verse 31 in Mesopotamia. God has spoken to Abraham. According to Acts 7. It doesn't tell you in Genesis 11, verse 31 here, that God spoke to Abraham, but Acts 7, verse 2, 3, 4 tells you that. So you can put your cross-reference there, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, 3, and 4. I have my own cross-reference system. Sometimes this cross-reference, my Baba don't have cross-reference, but sometimes your cross-reference system is not sufficient. You put there a cross-reference, Acts 7, verse 2 to 4. That is what happened in Genesis 11, verse 31. And actually, in Genesis 11, verse 31, when Abraham and his father's name is Terah, not Terah. Terah. He may be a terror, I don't know. But his name was Terah, and his grandson, all his relations, when they come out in Genesis 11, verse 31 tells us, where were they heading? They came from Ur. This is Mesopotamia, this is Ur. I don't blame you because you're in Ur here. Now this is Mesopotamia, this is the land of the Chaldeans, this is Ur. Ur, but all the people always say Ur. And they leave the land of Ur to go to the land of Canaan. Chapter 11, verse 31. Notice, the purpose of them living here is to go there. Do you all see this in the Bible? Is anybody confused? Please quickly put up your hands. Right. It's very clear. In Genesis 11, verse 31, the reason why they leave Ur is to go to Canaan. They were on the way to Canaan. They were heading the direction. Now somehow, as they walked towards the land of Canaan, as they were going there with all their barang-barang, I mean, they must have got wagon loads with Terah, his father, and all these people. And here they are heading here. In the middle here, in Haran, they stop. They park their wagons. They build their houses. They build their homes. And they forgot that they were supposed to go there. Can you see the whole picture now? And now, when Terah died, God again spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, leave, go. And that was a second reminder in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, to go into the land of Canaan. It was the second time that God spoke to Abraham. Second time, not the first time in Genesis 12. And to give you some background, Terah was not a godly man. Terah was an idol worshipper. Abraham came from the same kind of background that you and I came from, most of us. I mean, praise God for those of you who came from Christian homes. I did not come from a Christian home. I wish I did. Some of you should count it a blessing. Count yourself blessed that you came from a godly home. I wish I had. I would have known Jesus earlier. In fact, if somebody had preached to me the gospel at 12, I would have been born again. And the gospel only came to me when I was at the age of 17. That was my first time I ever saw the Bible. Now Abraham came from the same type of background you and I came from. Idol worshipping background. Say, prove it, brother. Alright, you asked for it. Joshua 24. There we have it. Joshua 24. Also in your Bible. Joshua chapter 24. When Joshua was recounting to the Israelites their history, he tells us here in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 and verse 3. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwell on the other side of the river in old times, and they serve other gods." Tells you that. All Abraham's kinsfolk were idol worshippers. They serve other gods. Terah was an idol worshipper. You can put that in a cross reference too, in Genesis 11 verse 31. Write another cross reference, Joshua 24. See, when you study the Bible, you should have a pen and a paper and write down all your studies and increase your own cross reference. Don't just depend on what you buy from the bookshop. In your own studies, you can begin to see some light in the Bible. Terah was an idol worshipper. He was not a godly man. All Abraham's people were idol worshippers. In fact, it's a miracle that he could obey God in that kind of situation. Without the Holy Spirit being upon him like upon us, without Jesus Christ being manifested yet, without the written word of God, it's a wonder that he could obey God and come out of that kind of background. But here is the picture I want you to see very clearly. Abraham was in the land of Chaldean. What did God tell him in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, 3 and 4? God actually tell him, "Get out from your kindred. Leave your relations." God only called Abraham. God did not call Terah. God did not call Lot. God said, "Leave them and come." Because all of them were idol worshippers. Lot, praise God, later on he was influenced by Abraham, he got better. But all of them were idol worshippers. And God warned Abraham not to do with that. He said, God will not speak to you in the midst of your idolatry. God will not speak to you if your eyes are on the world. God will not speak to you if your eyes are lusting for the flesh of the world, for the things of the world, for these things in life. If you are putting other things that are created as God, God cannot speak to you. You have to come out of your idolatry. Amen. Amen. God has to bring you out of the idolatry the same way God told Abraham, come out. Abraham struggled like you and I. Emotionally, he was tied to his father, although his father was an idol worshipper. He was tied to all his relations, as some of us are tied. And there we are, stuck together. And he found it so difficult to obey God. He struggled and he did not obey God 100%. Abraham, that famous man, I mention that name, every Christian knows Abraham, that famous father of faith. God did say he'll make his name great. Could you imagine when he first started walking with God that he struggled, that he was not perfect? So what is the big fuss about you and I? If you start walking with God, God understands. If your walk is not that perfect with God, well, as long as it's sincere from your heart, do all the best that you know how. Abraham did not walk with a perfect heart with God in the beginning. God told him, leave. and he took his father along. In fact, I like the way Genesis 11 verse 31 put it. The father took him along. Something is wrong there. God did not speak to Terah. God speak to Abraham. But Terah was the one who took him along. Tells us something there. How tired he was. And could you imagine God did not speak to Abraham anymore until his father died? God did not speak anymore because his father was an idol worshipper. Until his father died. See, his father was blocking Abraham from God. His obedience was not complete because he was too influenced by his father. I told my parents this when I came to know Jesus. We were all Buddhists, and not quite that Buddhist, I mean Buddhist by tradition. And when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was the first one in my family to be born again. My father was traditional Buddhist. My mother was more or less a Taoist, and she worshipped idols. And when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they told me this. They said, for generations we have been following all these ways. Why must you change now? Why must you change now? Can't you be faithful to all these things that we've been following for generations? What your grandfather did, what your great-grandfather did, and all these things that they did. Why don't you just follow and be a good boy? I did not know what to say to them, but finally, the Lord told me this. I said, I love both of you very much. I told my father and mother. But I'm hungry for the truth. I took a piece of the idol worshipping note that she burned. I said, look at this, Mom. Look at this. Hell bang note. I said, I don't want to go there. If it's hell there, I mean, there must be a heaven. How do I get there? And I say, you tell me that all these things are God? I say, I'm hungry for the truth. And then I told them this. If I have found the truth, and if I really love you, I will follow the truth and try to bring you to the truth, then to reject the truth and just follow you. Do you understand that love? Into that Haran. And God could not speak to him anymore. God could not speak to him anymore until Terah died. Talk about obedience. Talk about obedience. He has to slowly develop the walk with God. And then he has his walk with God, and he went over and he started moving. In Genesis chapter 12. Do you have it there? Genesis chapter 12. God speaks to him in the land of Haran. Town of Haran. Abraham departed in verse 4. Genesis chapter 12. We are now in verse 4. And he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He was 75 years old. Now, 75 years old, at that time, he obeyed the second time. Bible didn't give us the time when God spoke first to him, but probably many years. There was a time of disobedience. Finally, God is so patient. I like God. I love God. You know, he's so patient with us. He keeps speaking to you and speaking to you until you obey. He has to gently deal with Abraham, and Abraham started obeying God. But what did God tell him? You read carefully in Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Says, from your kindred, from your father's house, get out. The second time round, he didn't obey fully. He did not obey fully because he took Lot with him. Lot was his nephew. Later on, that was to be a source of trouble to him. A source and a seed of disharmony in his own family. How many of you believe God is smarter than us? See, when God tells you something, you better obey. It seems hard at first on us, but in the long run, we'll find out He is right. We were wrong. It's better to obey Him, whatever He tells us. Abraham took Lot along. Just turn quickly over. Many, many years later, when they were walking up and down in the land of Canaan, in Genesis chapter 13, when they were in the land of Canaan, Canaan is now dark, but wait on God. The light is coming. Praise God. Anyway, here we are. They're walking up and down in the land of Canaan in Genesis chapter 13. The Bible tells us in verse 5, Lord also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. There was strife in between them. It was not something that occurred once. When the Bible used the word strife, it's talking about concern. There must be heartache. Quarreling among the servants of Abraham and the servants of the Lord. See, Abraham was sowing for trouble when he took Lot along. And as Abraham was walking up and down the land, and finally the quarrel reached a point where they had to solve it. They had to solve the quarrel. They had to solve the striving and the quarreling of their servants. They probably were just having cold war between them. Didn't record that they were quarreling. But no, their servants were fighting. And Abraham at that time called Lot and said, Lot, come here. Lot came up. Lot was his nephew. Abraham was his uncle. So Lot came and said, yeah, Uncle Abraham, what do you want? And Uncle Abraham look around and say, Lord, look here. Your servants are quarreling with my servant. We are brethren. Let's not quarrel. You take whichever land you want, I'll take the rest. Very nice of him. So Lot looked around and saw the land near Sodom and Gomorrah. He went by what he sees. Dangerous to just go by what you see. Instead of by what God says. He went by what he sees and later he lost everything. But anyway, Lot saw the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not consider the moral condition, but he just considered his physical condition. When you make a decision whether to take a job or to reject a job, whether to accept a promotion or not to accept a promotion, it must not just be based on the salary scale. You cannot base a decision on earthly decision. Many people, I read a story of how a family, not in our country but in America, who was being counseled by a pastor there, and when the pastor counseled them, they were going to accept a job that gave them another $1,000 promotion. But it's in another city, and they're so far away, it's a depraved city, no fellowship there. And they felt that, I confess, I possess prosperity is mine. But it's guided by all the other scriptures. So they took that job and made the decision, and they left. 5 years later, the pastor heard, in the end, because of the moral condition around them, the man not only lost his job, the man lost his family. They were divorced, they're quarreling the family, they lost everything, and the whole family was broken up. It's not worth it. Always make your decisions based on spiritual condition, not on natural condition. Lot went by what he see, and in the end he lost everything. Didn't ask God's opinion. Didn't even ask God what God thinks. Anyway, Abraham was very gracious. Abraham said, Lord, you take the first choice. And when Lord has taken a choice and Lord has left, we all the hurt and all the things, and when Lord left, remember, when Lord left, that was when the word of God is being fulfilled. God wanted Abraham alone to speak to him. The moment Lord left, you read with me the scripture in Genesis 13. In Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham. In other words, God started talking to Abraham again. The Lord spoke to Abraham. He said to him, he had a conversation with him. The Bible tells us here in verse 14, after Lord had separated from him. You cannot argue with God's word. You cannot compromise what God wants to be done. God has told Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, leave and go into the land of Canaan. God has spoken that unto them. The Lord was with Abraham. God only spoke once earlier when he first left as an encouragement, but after that, no record until this time. When he built an altar unto God earlier in chapter 12, but nothing more after that, until this point. And the Bible tells us that Lord left him. Sometimes people wonder, why don't God deal more in my life? Why don't God manifest more? Why don't God perform what he said? Check yourselves whether you've been obedient to everything that God has said to the letter. You can miss at one point and it could be an essential point for its manifestation in your life. See, we move from glory to glory, manifestation to manifestation. From his word to his word to his word. Different levels of his word speaking unto our life. And God will not tell you the next word until you obey what he has already spoken. God will not give you some more words when you have not even obeyed that which he has spoken unto you to the fullest. So God told Abraham, after Lord had separated from him, God told Abraham a special blessing. God said to Abraham in verse 14, God says, lift up your eyes now and see and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants. God gave him a special blessing after he obeyed God fully. If you do not deal with your problems that God is speaking to you right now, no matter how far you go, that problem will keep coming up. God told the Israelites, you must get rid of every one of those Canaanites. And God said, if you don't get rid of those Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, they will get you in the end. If you don't deal with your life as God deals with you, your prayer life now, your spiritual life now, the sin in your private life, your weaknesses now, you will still have to deal with them later in greater proportion. We cannot run away from what God asks us to deal with. It's an awesome thought. After Lord has left, Abraham was walking up and down in the land that God has promised. There were many opportunities for him to work out God's will in his life, but there were several times God speak to him, and each time there was always something Abraham surrendered. I just want to point it out here. See, in Genesis 12, have your finger in Genesis 12, when Abraham obeyed God in verse 4, Abraham departed, at least he obeyed to some extent, as God had spoken him, although Lord was with him, chapter 12 verse 4, When Abraham did that with his wife and his possession, etc., then in verse 6 and 7, when Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth trees of Moch and the Canaanites were there in the land, the Lord appeared to him. See, it was a great surrender for him to surrender all his emotional ties and his roots, to pull out his roots and move. It was a sacrifice. It was a surrender for him. When he did that, God spoke to him. Now, in this time, in Genesis 13, it is a gentleman of great generosity to tell his younger nephew, I thought he was older, he was a very generous man. By all means, he was a very generous man. In spite of all his weaknesses, he has weaknesses, I can assure you. In spite of all his weaknesses and a little compromise here and there, God was still dealing with his life. Now, if you think that God was so gracious to Abraham, and this is the Old Testament, not even New Testament, in spite of little areas here and there, he compromised here and there, why should you be discouraged when the devil comes to you and says, "Ha, oh, you compromise a little bit here and there, habis." Malaysia, sometimes the devil speaks Malay here. Anyway. Mampui. Hello, Star Malay. Do you think about the graciousness of God? Don't be discouraged with yourself. It's condemnation from the devil. As long as you're doing all you know how, plus and minus, give and take some things that you're still trying hard, God can use you. I said God can use you. I said God can use you. Say hallelujah. God can use you. He's such a wonderful father. I love him. In Genesis 13, when Lot took the first choice, Abraham sort of surrendered. And then God spoke to him. Then another time God spoke to him. You see, there's a surrender involved before God spoke. In Genesis chapter 14, you read the story about how poor Lot, he got in trouble. He followed the way of the flesh, he sure get trouble. He got into trouble. He was captured in a war, in a tribal war among the kings. And poor Lot had all his possessions taken away. Uncle Abraham come with all his servants to the rescue. Hallelujah. Imagine Abraham the warrior, Genesis 14. He comes to the rescue. When he came to the rescue, Abraham, God was with him. Suddenly, he was a farmer, a herdsman. He became a warrior. He became a soldier. You can be anything in God as long as you have God's blessing. You can be anything. I said you can be anything in God as long as you have God's blessing. Even though you've never done it before. Even if the world has not even done it before, you can do it if God's blessing is on your life. So he comes as a soldier now. As a warrior, like a king. And he fought the battle, and he won all the battles. And he captured all the possessions back, took all of them back. He met Melchizedek along the way. Melchizedek was a good man, was a godly man. And he gave all his tithes to Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. And after giving all the tithes to Melchizedek, then he was given an offer. This was the offer of the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 21. Chapter 14, verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." Oh, that's a wonderful offer. That's the voice of the world. That's the world saying, "Here is it. Here is the thing. Here are the worldly goods." Here is almost like Satan's voice saying, "See all the things and the glory of them." That was an offer to Abraham. An offer to make him richer than he has ever been. Look at Abraham's answer. Verse 22. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord. In other words, he has made a covenant with God. For that day, it was like a vow that he has made to God. He has made a vow and a covenant with God. He says, O Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread. He will not even take a thread to a sandal strap. In those days, they wear sandals. So for you and I today, he's saying, I will not even take a thread or a shoestring from any one of you. I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. Lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. He said, only my servants, the young men who are with me, let them take what they want, but I will not take anything. That's a wonderful person. This is a strong point. This is a good point. He's generous, yet he's not greedy. He's rich, but he was not covetous. He has abundance, yet he was a giver. What a wonderful person he was. In spite of his weaknesses, he had weaknesses. Yet there are these good points in him. Remember, every one of you have potential. Even no matter what you see yourself to be in your own eyes, as a no good, nobody, worthless. Think about it this way. If God counted it so important to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, he must have seen some value in you. He must have seen some value in you. Not only does he see a value in you, the Bible says he has a plan for your life. Thank God he loves us. Abraham said, I will not take a thread or a shoestring. Some people would have taken and saying, well, that will be $30,000, please. Praise God, you got healed. Praise God, that will be $10,000, please. Praise God, you like that? That will be $40,000, please. Abraham was saying, I will not take a shoestring or a thread. I will not take a thread or a shoestring. Lest you say, I make Abraham rich. He refused. In other words, he was saying, I will not take the way of the world to make myself rich. If I am rich, Abraham was saying, I want God to make me rich. Hallelujah. He said, I would rather God make me rich rather than man. And he rejected man's offer. When he rejected man's offer, the next chapter, chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, God appeared and said, Abraham, I am your shield. You have been in war. I am your shield, your protector, and your exceedingly great reward. If you have God the Father, if you have Jesus Christ the Son, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything that you need in life. God the Father is worth more than anything you cannot measure. Jesus Christ is worth a million worlds. You cannot measure. No wonder the song says, He is my everything. He is worth everything. If you have a choice, choose Jesus. He is worth everything. If you have Him, everything will come forth. Notice that every time before God spoke to Abraham, Abraham will surrender something. Before the manifestation is the opportunity to be tempted astray. Many times before God manifests on the scene, the devil manifests on the scene to attack, to tempt you, to lure you, to pull you away to a different direction. But if you overcome the temptation and have victory, your reward is great. After your overcoming, before you hear God say, yes, I have this for you, you must say no to the world. You must say no to the offers of the world, and then you will hear God say, come, yes, to my possession. While Abraham was having a good time in God, walking up and down the land, there's only one problem. He was now blessed spiritually. He was blessed with financial blessings. He was a rich person. But there was one key thing in his life that was even there in Genesis 11. They never have a child. They never have any children. It was something that must have bothered them for some time until they must have given up hope. See, if you give up hope, you don't even have faith. Faith comes from your hope, the substance of things hoped for. Some of you have big problems in your life. See, there could be many, many small areas plus a big major area. Abraham had a big major area. He wanted a son so badly, but he doesn't have. Sarah was barren. In spite of all God was saying, but here was the key thing that still was not happening. Have you been that way? Many times you're in God's presence, you see God blessing you here, there, God blessing you there, here and there, left, right, center, but except for this, still no breakthrough. I mean, you have God blessings here and there, but there was still this thing. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast. This is how Abraham overcame his problem. God spoke to him and said, I will give you a son. Genesis, Bible tells us, chapter 15, after the incident of the war, and God is still saying, I am your exceedingly great reward, God said to Abraham, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing that I'm childless? God said, I don't have a child. I mean, Abraham said, my God, Abraham said, I don't have a child. You bless me with financial blessings, all this will go to my servant Eliezer. It's not worth anything to me. I want a child. If that is the reward, if you want to give me, Lord, a child will meet my needs. And God said in verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. So God begins to reward him now. Before God gave him a child, God gave him the word about the child. Before God gave you a breakthrough, God gave you a word about the breakthrough. See, God always speaks into your life first before He works a miracle in your life. Before the child came was the word about the child. Before your breakthrough in your life, before that which God has spoken, that which you wanted to meet your needs in your life to come to pass, God gave you a word. Hold fast to that word. And God gave the word, and the word was supposed to produce vision. God took Abraham out into the night, that same chapter 15, and God said, Abraham, look up. Abraham looked up and he saw the stars. God said, can you count them? If you can count them. Abraham could not count them, and God said, count the stars if you can. Your descendants shall be as the stars. What was God saying? God was giving him his word. God was giving him the vision. Without a vision, my people perish. If you receive the word of God into your life, the word must produce vision. If you heard a thus says the Lord, the thus says the Lord must produce stars in your life. You must see stars. The stars are whatever God has spoken in your life. If God has spoken unto your life that you are going to be used by Him as an evangelist, right now you have to see it. Receive His word, begin to have visions in that area. Begin to see the stars in that area. If God has spoken unto you that you have to open a business and God is going to prosper it, you must not only hear the word in your ears, you must see the word with your eyes. The word must be to your ears and to your eyes. God spoke unto him. You would have expected that he never wavered in faith. Guess what he did? Just like you and I. There were some times he woke up when faith was weak. He wavered in faith. He wavered in faith. In fact, for 24 years, he wavered. God called him when he was 75. You know the story. When he was 100, he received a child. 100 minus 20, 75 is 25. He wavered, I'll show you from the Bible, he wavered for 24 years. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes low to the ground. Looks like he never get up again. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Poof, sometimes go into the hole. You ever been there before? Abraham has been there. He was not Superman. Sometimes you read stories of him, you thought he was Superman. I'm sorry he don't have a big S in front of his chest. After God spoke to him, I'll show you, he was still not having faith for 24 years. I'll show you from the Bible. You all ready? Ready? Say amen. If you're feeling hot, just imagine you're in Abraham's Canaan. Alright, here we are. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 16, Sarah, his wife, got discouraged after some years. Give me a son! Give me a son! Abraham will be shocked. Hey, Sarah, we've been claiming God's word. Give me a son! What can I do? Just like sometimes you say, manifest! Right, you're claiming God's word for something. Manifest, where is it? And in the end, he made a blunder that's still going on today. If he didn't make that blunder, they wouldn't have the problem they have in the Middle East today. You hearing me? What a blunder, lasted for generations until now. Here he is, and Sarah said, here's Hagar, I have a son. Man's method. Do you know sometimes when you're claiming God's word to manifest in your life, claiming God's promise in your life, that you're given an alternative method? That you're given the second best, you're given the second choice, you're given a worthy method to fulfill that. Everything that you want to do in life, everything that God asks you to do in life, there is always the alternative man's effort to do it. That will be offered to you. That you must make a choice of saying, no, I would rather depend on the Lord God. I'd rather depend on the Lord God. I'll not go by man's way. And when he went into Hagar, they conceived, and she conceived, and they have a boy named Ishmael. And for 13 years, God never talked to him. 13 years, God didn't talk to him anymore. Until Ishmael was about 13 years. Silent years. Abraham in the hot desert, son of the Canaan. Canaan is quite hot there. Hot desert son of Canaan. And then he is sweating away, you know, 13 years with blood, sweat, toil, and never hearing from God. I mean, that is a long time not to hear from God. Certainly very discouraging. Discouraging. That means all the courage leave you. Discouraged. All the courage leave you like balloon. No more courage left. 13 silent years. You would think, after those 13 years of trying the ways of man and having more problems, do you know he had more problems? He had problems with Sarah some more. Because Sarah was angry at Hagar, and Hagar went out one time, then came back again, and later had to go out. They have family problem. You reap what you sow. If you want to go the ways of man, be prepared for the failures of man. If you want to go God's ways, then be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit's success. Then it's an amen. Thank you for that one enthusiastic amen. How about the rest of you? That's good. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Then we have here that finally when he was 99 years old, 24 years have passed. Remember I said 24 years he still didn't have his faith developed. When I didn't see all this, I used to read Romans chapter 4. Keep one finger on your Bible in Genesis. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. If you don't see all these things, you would think that Romans chapter 4 was about his whole life. Romans chapter 4. The Bible tells us in verse 20, he did not waver. Say, he did not waver. Say, he did not, did not, did not waver. Now turn to your neighbor and say, Abraham didn't waver. I want you to know he didn't waver only in his last year. What an encouragement. Before that, he was a waverer. Sometimes up, God said to him, and he believed and he counted it for righteousness. After that, he fell again. Great man of faith. Hallelujah. Father of faith. Great man of faith. Only in his last year. Last year, he began to develop strong faith. Just like you and I. Just like you and I. Some of you may not know why I was called Peter. I got some of you wondering now. When I was a newborn again Christian, I was a great doubter. I know I don't seem like one now. Today I'm a great believer. I asked all kinds of questions. I was an intellectual because from Buddhism I went into free thinker. And my mind was science orientated. Everything had to be proven, proven, proven. I read all kinds of stuff and I questioned the Bible, I questioned the Word of God, I questioned this until my Bible teacher at that time was following me up, got very exasperated, almost giving me up. Three times I turned away from God. Now you know why I got the name Peter. The last time when I come back to God, I mean backslide in the sense that I was not faithful, true to all that Jesus tells me. I was not the hero that you think I was. Now the truth is out. Some of you look so innocent. As if I'm the only one. But you're probably looking in a mirror. And the final time I made up my mind, I say, I'm just going to believe God so as it is. And when I came back, I said, I took the name Peter. I said, he has denied Jesus three times. I didn't deny the same way he denied, but it took me that much doubting to come back to him. That's how I landed with that name. Thank God Jesus didn't call me Simon. This will be the rock. Sometimes I think when they sing the song, Rock of Ages, that sounds like me. Because Jesus is in me. Hallelujah. I know that's about Jesus. Anyway, here is, it says in Romans 4 verse 20, Abraham did not waver. I will prove you in the Bible he wavered. Even right to the 25th year beginning. I thought it took 9 months for Sarai to conceive. Right up to the ending of the 25th year, when God told Abraham, now quickly turn with me to the book of Genesis. Getting exciting now. Genesis chapter 20. Oh, there we have it. Genesis chapter 17, excuse me. Genesis chapter 17. This is very exciting now. Remember, we're right at the climax now. Right at the climax now. Climax. Climax. Chapter 17, the climax of his faith. Finally, he's going to come to the point that Romans 4 verse 20 says. That he did not waver. Although Romans 4:20 says he did not waver, he wavered for 24 years. He was a waverer. Now I prove to you his faith was still not fully developed. Genesis 17, God appeared to him after 13 silent years and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And then Abraham, after he hear all the blessings of God, and verse 8, let's read verse 8. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, etc. And God changed his name when Abraham was 99 years old. He had only 1 year of confession towards the ending after all the wavering. God changed his name when he was 99 years old. Remember, he left at 75 years old. 24 years had passed by before his name was changed. And at 100 years old, Isaac was born. So he had only 1 year of changed name. Get all your Bible facts correct. You thought sometimes that when you read that he was name was changed 10, 20 years. No, only 1 year. When he was 99, his name was changed. Then the Bible tells us here, God says to Abraham in verse 15. Now listen carefully. Chapter 17, verse 15. Do you all have that in your Bible? Alright, New King James Version here. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. And Abraham said, Amen! No, he didn't. That's not in your Bible. You know what Abraham did? Abraham, in verse 17, fell on his face, not under the power. No, sir. He was so tickled. That is the best joke in the world. Oh, God, that's the greatest joke I ever heard. Great man of faith. 24 years now, walking with God. Great man of faith. Best joke I ever heard, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Boom, fall down on the floor. He didn't fall down under the power. He fell down under the power of his laughter. He fell down on the floor laughing and laughing. And you know, there are very few of you who laugh that way. And he laughed and he laughed and he laughed. And his laughing was not because he believed God. His laughing was because he didn't believe God. 24 years with God, he didn't believe God. I mean, he doubted. Sometimes he can believe, sometimes he could not. And all those years, he's been practicing visualizing. He's been visualizing the stars. He has been visualizing the sand as his descendants, the stars as his descendants. He has been practicing visualizing, believing God. But here, he still doubts. He laughed and laughed. And then he said in verse 17, I'll prove to you, verse 17, he did not laugh, the laughter of faith. Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? What a joke! Ha, 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 ha. Ooh, 100 years old, Lord God, what a joke. He's laughing at God. Thank God, God didn't smite him. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, have a child? Could you imagine Sarah, 90 years old, having a child? He was not laughing because he believed. He was laughing because he thinks it's impossible. And you know what he did when he was 18? I proved to you how much unbelief he had. He said, oh, that Ishmael may live. Do you hear what he said? He said in verse 18, oh, that Ishmael may live. God is offering him Isaac. He wants Ishmael. Great man of God. God's man of power for the hour. Look at what he's doing now. God has a way of getting around it. What did God do? He changed his name. Even though sometimes you're filled with doubt and unbelief, what God says, it seems very far off, is you will keep confessing. The reason God hasn't changed his name, you know, the name is what you use every day. Your name is what is used every day. And every day he has to confess, Sarah, 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 Abraham, 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 Sarah, 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 Abraham, 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 even though they don't like it. But they will keep doing it. So they have visualizing, they have believing, now they have confession. And God's miracle will change. And God also has to deal with Sarah in chapter 19. So there we have Abraham, there we have it in chapter 19, after God rained Sodom, Gomorrah with his judgment. Oh, there we have it. Let's start with chapter 18. There we have it in verse 11. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 18, verse 11. We were in chapter 17. That's right, the next chapter, verse 18. Now, Abraham and Sarah were all well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, God has said in verse 10, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent, next to the tent. She was eavesdropping to what God was speaking to Abraham. And God repeated to Abraham, said, Sarah, your wife will have a son in 9 months' time. That is the time of life. Sarah was listening. You know, Abraham laughed. He laughed, said, ha, 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 in chapter 17. Now in chapter 18, Sarah was listening in the tent. And this time, in verse 12, Sarah laughs within herself. She laughs like most ladies laugh. Within, inside there. What the? Abraham laughs. Ha, 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 ha. You seldom find ladies laugh that way. She was trying her best to stop herself laughing. Within herself. It was within her. Say, men love without, ladies love within. Maybe they invented the ha-ha and the hee-hee. The ha-ha is for the men, the hee-hee for the ladies. So she laughed. And then God overheard that. And God saying in verse 13, why is Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And verse 15, Sarah said, no, 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 I didn't. That's what Sarah did. See, in verse 35, verse 15, Sarah denied it. I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. But she did. The Lord knew. Think about it, great man of faith, great woman of faith, laughing. But not laughing out of faith. Laughing because they felt it's impossible. It's ridiculous. Way out. How can it be? God will have his way among them. In 1 year, everything changed. In 1 year. In 1 year. That last year, I encourage you to hold on to your confession of faith. I encourage you to hold on to the vision God speaks in your life. I encourage you not to give up the vision that God has spoken, the promise of God in your life. You may waver here and there, but if you will persist, you will reach a day. In the end, Abraham reached the time when he stopped wavering. Romans 4 verse 20 says, he did not waver. You will reach a point if you are persistent enough. Don't let your personal shortcomings pull you down. get up and go on. If you fall, get up and go on. If you make a mistake, get up and go on. Get up and go on. Pursue. If you will not stop, but keep on doing what you know is good, you will reach a point like Abraham, where his faith was perfected. And it took 24 years for him. I'm not suggesting it will take that long with you and I, because we have greater weapons than him. We have the born again experience. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have Christ resurrected living inside us. But I'm encouraging you through the life of Abraham, that in spite of his weaknesses, and in all this time, Abraham used to tell lies once in a while about his wife. He's still bound a little bit by tradition and fear. Every time he fears for his life, he goes to a new country, he said, that's my sister. They will take his wife away. I mean, he was not a perfect man of character. But yet there was something that he could believe God for. God is not looking for perfect vessels. God is looking for yielded vessels. God is not looking for perfect characters. God is looking for sincere lovers and worshippers of God. God wants you as you are. And Abraham reached a point of time when his faith was perfected. Later on, when the child was born, they named the child Isaac means laughter. And it was a different laughter this time. When Isaac was born, they were laughing this time with joy, because God said it 25 years ago. God promised a blessing unto him that will bless all nations through his own body. God said it 25 years later, a quarter of a century later. He received what he believed, what he visualized, what he confessed. Now he possessed, in spite of all his failures. Could you all rise together with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all those times that God has in Abraham's life, God blessed him abundantly. God did wonderful things unto him. I reserve the last portion, when Isaac grew up, the child of promise. Remember, by that time, Abraham's faith was perfected. He was a man who does not waver anymore, based on Romans 4 verse 20. He was a man mighty of faith. Through him, we all receive blessings. We all are said to receive the blessings of Abraham in Galatians 3 verse 14. Because that one man believed, nearly 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 would be right to the Garden of Eden. Nearly 4,000 years ago, he lived about 2,000 years before Christ came. We live about 2,000 years after Christ came. Nearly 4,000 years ago, a man named Abraham could reach into the depths of God and draw down the things of God, so that today his belief and faith is still working. Could you imagine? Faith transcends time. But it took a lot of molding, a lot of coming to God in spite of his failures. And God did not rebuke him. God did not sort of punish him when he was laughing at God after 24 years, saying, how can it be? God understood him as God understands you and I. God understands your weaknesses. God understands your strength. And he has called you as you are. He knows you're not perfect. But he's asking, will you be a worshipper of me? Will you love me with all your heart, mind and soul? And as Abraham's faith was perfected, the day came when Isaac was growing up. I mean, this was the peak of his ministry, and Isaac was a walking miracle. Isaac was the vision of Abraham walking in the flesh. All his years of believing and exercising faith, all his hope, all his dreams were in Isaac.
One more time, God tested him. Because God will not take second place in your life, in my life, and in Abraham's life. Isaac was given by God through a miracle to them. But there's a danger that Isaac will be loved more than God. Your ministry is given unto you, so you must love God more than your ministry. Your finances are given unto you by God, your blessings. You must love God more than all those blessings. Your health, everything that you have was given to you by God. But you must love God above all else. It's one more time only that God tested Abraham. One more time. God said to Abraham, give me Isaac back. God was testing his love. God will not steal from you, the devil does. But God will demand, would you give it to him? This time Abraham was a different man. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that the reason why Abraham offered Isaac and he was willing to offer Isaac was because he believed that even if Isaac died, God can resurrect him. Such great faith he has developed. His faith has grown to the extent they can surrender all. And God was so pleased with him that God pronounced a special blessing on him. God will not take second place. Your wife, your husband, your loved one, they are gifts of God to your life. Your ministry, whatever you are, whatever you have, came from God. You may have even exercised great faith for them or for the things you possess. Your business, your profession. God gave it to you. And God will not allow anything or anyone to take first place above Him. Because again, we have to remember, if you have God, you have everything. And if you have everything, you can give it back to Him, He can give you back everything. When I was in prayer, times when God's presence was strong, one day God asked me this question: if you were to have one wish that I could give it to you, what would you ask for? I pondered and I thought the many areas I could ask: spirit, soul and body, or even for soul, for ministry. All these are well and good. But there was a quickening in my spirit, and I told God, I said, God, if you ask me that I have only one wish to get, if you give it to me, I want you and more of you. When I said that, the power of God just came on me. I fell, and I never felt such love like when God poured His love. And love you back. And love you over and over. Because that is what He wants. He wants your love. And He wants most of all to love you. To love you. with all that he has. Oh, let's worship in his holy presence. Oh, the presence of God filling this place. Oh, we worship you, Lord, and we love you.